Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
It's Not a Thing podcast. It's the first one of 2014.
Holy crap.
Yeah, right?
We started this in 2012.
Yeah. Yeah, 2014. I don't know. I like the sound of even numbers better generally, just because I like the, you know, the way 12 sounded, but I'm not sure I want the teenness all the way out. I mean, we're going to have teens all the way out to 2020 for Criminy 6.
Well, we've got some time to adjust to that.
Yeah, I guess. I guess the awkward teen years are always rough, I guess.
We've got our Bakhtun in review show, even though it's not a new Bakhtun. That's what we're sticking with.
It's the podcast Bakhtun.
Yes, right. That's right, because we record on metric time.
So, yes.
Mayan metric time.
I mean, it might as well be. It's just as valid as any other kind of time scale. But so we did this last year. We kind of went over how things went, what we did over the course of the year, and that time we had only been recording for
about 6 months.
Yeah, we'd done 20 episodes up to that point, so that's like 5 months. So this year we went from episode 21 to 72, which is 51 that's a, episodes.
That's a lot of talking.
Yeah, it is. It's not bad. Not bad. I'm pretty impressed by it. It's always wild when you see it all together kind of like that. So that's kind of fun. What was really cool, well, for me anyway, because I run the server space where we upload everything into, all of our audio for last year and just last year is 2.3 gigs.
Huh.
It's like...
That seems small.
It's half of a original iPod. For those of us that remember the original iPod.
Well, podcasts are very space effective. I mean, that's over... It's about, what, 2 days or a little under 2 days straight of listening?
Yep, it's 1.5 days.
Yeah.
I like how iTunes lists it as, like, kind of hours up to a certain point, and then it turns into days. So, like, I don't know. I'm sure if I pushed it into something else, it would tell me how many, like, actual, like, hours, minutes, and seconds it is. But 1.5 days, that's almost... It's like 36 hours.
I'd say that's enough to drive someone insane. To make them listen to us talk for 36 hours straight. I mean, that's really the benchmark I used, personally. What would drive someone to madness?
Well, I'm glad that we've at least made enough episodes to do that. And more, right? All the 21 episodes ahead of that, too, still count.
Yeah, those were a thing. They happened.
Yeah,
we have a record of it.
Although, so I was looking back at what else happened with the podcast in 2013, and we added a logo to the show, which I always associate it with happening a lot earlier, but I guess the theme song was pretty early. I want to say maybe even in the first four episodes is when we got our theme song. From Garen, and then Skylar dropped our logo down pretty much right after the beginning of the year. So we've almost had that a year. So pretty cool.
They still work.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll keep using them. We are thankful for those things.
Yeah, and we had and what was nice, I think, was we were able to have both of them on this year as guests.
I think we really upped our guest count this year.
Yeah, up is very, you know, very much. I actually didn't look to see how many guests we had in 2012. It was probably like four.
Yeah, probably like four, and I would say two of those are the same person. We had David on twice.
Hey, David. Right. So this year we had, or last year, I guess, because it's 2014 now. In 2013, we had 13 guests.
Wow.
And then we had 3 repeat guests. So that's Julie, Claire, and Ted. And that was kind of a special case because all of them were also in the same room with us.
Yeah, it's kind of a cheat. I'll take it.
Yeah, it was a fun show. I think that was one of the more like fun shows just because we were trying to make it like a rotating panel show. Kind of weird 15-minute speed dating kind of podcast. So we that would be fun to do something like that again this year. We'll see how it goes. I like having guests on. I think that's a pretty good ratio. I could see it even being a little higher. Maybe not as high as like
Well, that worked out to like once a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, let's see.
I mean, there was a run of like 7 or 8 in a row. But if you average it out,
right,
it was, you know, like one.
Amortized over the Bucktoon, it's good.
Yes, over the podcast Bucktoon, yes.
Bucktoonized, I guess, is the... Is that the right... I don't know. We'll have to ask some Mayans. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, good luck finding one of those.
So, yeah, 2013. I was... I like 2013. I mean, I remember... saying, I mean, other than the podcast, I remember being kind of happy that 2012 was done. Like, I felt like there were, you know, some things that were not 100% ideal with 2012. But I remember, you know, on the positive, liking 2013.
Yeah, I would chuck it in the good year column. Yes, I have a list. No, I don't have a list. That's way too much work. I put too much time into my movie of the year list. I can't think of actual year lists.
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to generate kind of a, you know, what was a thing this year and what was not a thing this year. And I, of course, started with the not a thing category, and I just got too depressed and didn't do it.
Yeah, there's 365 days a year of bullshit.
Yeah.
Whether you're paying attention or not.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of kind of big points. I mean, a lot of the things we talked about, they're very, you know, big running themes on the show. So not a thing. A lot of the, you know, needless, warrantless NSA spying kinds of stuff. Continuing to not be a thing, penguins.
Thank you, Alan.
and robots, and of course, robot penguins are like double not a thing.
Yeah, we've seen the disaster that is Batman Returns. I mean, it's a good movie. I'm not saying the movie's a disaster. I'm saying that creation is a disaster. Mechanized penguins.
Yeah, and I think. On the whole of it, I mean, we come out ahead like what we think were, you know, were positive things in the year. And I think, you know, our philosophy with the show about how, you know, it's way too easy to go negative, and so we're going to continue with not going negative.
Yeah, we only stick to the most egregious not things or ridiculous not things.
Right. But I think I don't know, I always like to look kind of across it in kind of bigger categories, because it's too hard to look at it in kind of you know, what were they. Let's just start looking back, because once you start looking back and you start listing stuff, those lists just get way too big. So I don't know, I thought we would just go back and forth along a couple categories and see how things broke out. So for me, I think this year I did a lot of board game playing. I mean, a lot more than I had in previous years, and I attribute that to kind of a couple things. Mostly the video series, the web series Tabletop, by Will Wheaton and friends over at Geek and Sundry. And I think that was kind of eye-opening to see just actually people playing the games rather than, you know, reviews. Because I was a big fan of Board Game Geek and how they would kind of go way deep on reviewing games and stuff like that. But I found that actually seeing people play the games is obviously much more akin to how I discover them and how I learn to like them and stuff. And I don't know, there have just been a lot of good games that have kind of captured my attention. So I think my favorite, my favorite board game is still The Resistance, and especially the Resistance Avalon, also known as My Wife Julie is a Spy.
I would say that definitely falls into my top board game group, you know, non-digital games of the year.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that. Another strong contender for most playtime would probably be Cards Against Humanity. And I know that's not a new game, but it's, I really feel like a lot of people are playing that game now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's easy to see kind of why. It's kind of just that right level of man's inhumanity to man, kind of a thing. I mean, you know, for a game, you know, that is built around not taking stuff, you know, very seriously, I think it's well put together. And they keep coming out with expansions and content, which I think is great, because otherwise it does kind of devolve into, you know, the same kind of few cards.
Right.
I won't mention most of them on the air, but we have the bigger, blacker box, and have put most, if not all, of the expansions that we've gotten into it, and it's getting full. There's still a couple styrofoam spacers, so at their current rate, I would say they're going to need another box in maybe a year. It's kind of wild. Good stuff, though.
Yeah.
So the guy who invented, or I don't know if he's necessarily that guy, but he's one of the main kind of people behind Cards Against Humanity, Max Temkin. He also made a game based on what was it called? It was shown at PAX, and I'm not going to remember the name of it, unfortunately. But it was it's a game like like the old arcade games, like Mario Brothers, like the old Mario Brother arcade game, or Bubble Bobble, or Super Bomberman, where there's just one level and everyone can see everything on the level, and you can have a couple players that move around at the same time and fight. I think it's called Samurai Gun, now that I'm remembering right. And it was one of the ones that I remember seeing at PAX this last year. And it's just ridiculous. Like the, 'cause everyone is a samurai and everyone also has a gun, you pretty much insta-kill whoever you run up into. And so it's the individual matches last something like 20 seconds. So it's kind of a fun and just kind of maddening game. I mean, I played a little bit of that at PAX, but I think, that was a fun kind of little and casual game. What would you say, you know, or where would you put like, video games, like for 2013, like big ones, or even little ones? I mean,
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah,
pretty big game. Literally a big game. Like, that is a huge map.
Are you still investing time in it?
Yeah, not at a regular pace. I play in bits and pieces, but I could see myself without self-control just sitting and playing for a few days. And that wouldn't be a problem, but I try and space it out.
Yeah, that's a good thing. moderation encouraged by the Not a Thing podcast. Yeah, we let's see, we didn't jump on Grand Theft Auto, but we recently went back to Tristram with Diablo 3, unfortunately. that's definitely a game I can sink way too many hours into, and so that's been pretty fun. But I think for if I had to say which games I like the most out of 2013, I would have to go with FTL, Faster Than Light.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Was that this year?
Wasn't it? I think it was.
I think it was last year.
Okay, well that one'll have to be looked up.
If only there was a way.
A way that we talk about on the show.
I could be totally wrong.
I actually, no, now I'm confused. I'm not sure. You might be right. I know that they're...
I know we've talked about that game a lot.
Yeah. And I know that they're releasing a new, a new version of it or an expansion this year. They're adding an alien race to the game and rebalancing a couple things and some more ships. And then the other big news is they're making it for the iPad. So a whole...
Oh, that'd be nice.
You know, other group of people can, you know, sink way too much time into it.
It was September 2012, in fact, that game came out.
Oh, okay. All right. It's not... I'm not going to say that I... Maybe we only started playing it in 2013?
It's possible. I remember it early in the year, so...
Yeah. Well, anyway. Okay, then not that game. Luckily, I had an alternate, which was The Last of Us, which I think I talked about a little bit on the last show. But I really liked that game. It was it was very, very visceral. I mean, it was by Naughty Dog, who did the Uncharted series. So the kind of shooting and sneaking around and fighting mechanics were really good. And then on top of that, the character work on it was good. And I thought well balanced. What was interesting was I played that in pretty short succession after playing BioShock Infinite, which a lot of people really, really liked. Did you ever get around to BioShock Infinite?
I did start playing it. I do have an in-progress game, which I have not played in months.
Okay.
I did not finish it.
Okay.
2013 was the year of starting games and not finishing them.
Well, I don't want to spoil BioShock Infinite for you. I know that if you're in progress on it, there's a lot. But I thought that the story was better integrated with The Last of Us. I felt like... BioShock Infinite had a really good story, but I thought that it didn't necessarily fit the gameplay as well. Still good.
I think I would have really liked The Last of Us if I had PlayStation.
Fair
console
enough.
Console only?
Yeah.
Stupid exclusive games.
Oh, so were you playing BioShock on the PC?
I was.
Okay.
And that's one of the main reasons I stopped is because it's on my computer and I bought a new TV, which is way bigger.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly why we went back for Diablo 3. I mean, I actually have not done a lot of desktop gaming this year after, after I got through FTL, yeah, I haven't really picked up any stuff for the Mac. I thought I might pick up the new Civ game, and it just never materialized. I think I bought it in a Steam sale, which is like I could say that about so many things.
Yeah.
But I never played it beyond like the initial install and going, oh yeah, this looks, it works, I got it, and then never again.
Yeah.
Steam sales, man. Those,
I still think they're a thing.
Yeah,
because you'll get like one game you want to play, and you'll play, and then you'll have like seven other games you don't need.
Yeah, the Humble Bundle really, you know, came into its own. I think this year there, those sales got a lot of buzz, and I think that's good. I mean, they you know, it's at least giving the video game money to a good cause, and for the most part, it's supporting kind of, you know, the indie publishers of games, which, you know, we're big fans of. So that should still be a thing. But maybe being able to finish some of the games should also be a thing.
Right. That's going to be one of my goals for 2014, is finish more games.
Not bad. So where else should we go? Where should we go in this this big rambling Bakhtunin review?
Well, I think we definitely need to discuss the cinema.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like I did not see as many movies as I could have this year. I feel like I say that every year. So that's not that terribly surprising to me. Although I feel like I didn't see any lemons in the theater, at least. I think I was pretty good, you know, satisfaction-wise. And maybe that's just that I'm satisfied with a lower bar of stuff.
Well, I kind of felt the same way until I actually went back and ran the numbers and counted through all the movies that were released in 2013. And I saw 52 movies.
Oh.
That were released this last year. Not necessarily in the theater. It may have been on demand or on DVD. But yeah, that works out to like one movie a week. And yeah, there were still 20-something movies that I didn't see that I wanted to see. So they put out a lot of... I mean, there were quite a few movies on of those 52 that I didn't enjoy, or some of them didn't even finish. But, and I feel like of those 20 that I didn't see... they were all really good that I intend to see.
Ooh, any, like, what's on you know, higher on that list?
On movies I didn't see?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get to see Anchorman within 2013. I wanted to see that.
The original Anchorman.
Oh, no, I'm seeing the original Anchorman. Anchorman 2.
Are we, let's be serious here. What do we...
Come on.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a movie, Short Term 12, with Brie Larson that was supposed to be good. I didn't see Fruitvale Station. I realize it's mostly the bummer movies that I didn't see.
No, and I can see that, right? Like, you don't. I mean, I know I implemented kind of a higher bar to see something in a theater. You know, when really around when. The kind of baby IMAX digital kind of format kind of came out, and they were starting to push things as IMAX and 3D and everything else. And it's really like, if I'm going to see it in the theater, I want, you know, either the theater experience of, you know, a huge screen and sound, or I want the theater experience of like a whole lot of people really enjoying the film. And so, like, you know, very big comedies I can see in a theater pretty much, you know, without too much hesitation. And then, you know, the big explosion kind of movies.
I think that heavily, I have a similar bar, and that heavily influenced my top 10 movies of the year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're all movies that I saw most of them I saw multiple times in the theater, and that they were movies that you want to see in a theater.
Sure.
Which I guess is really helpful now, releasing the list, because you can't see it in the theater. But they should still hold up.
Yeah, I think for the most part they do. I mean, you know, the only notable kinds of things were any kind of super, like, 3D experience or the IMAX kind of thing. Like, I'm not sure. I mean, I like, Gravity is the one that's tearing me right now. I mean, I don't know if watching that at home would have the same kind of effect, especially because, you know, you've seen it.
Right. And I don't think it would.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that a little bit, like when you see something that you know where it's going to go, is it harder to watch when it's that way. I mean, I think we talked about that with Jenny on, if I'm remembering right. We were talking about movies and stuff. And would spoiling the end of The Sixth Sense like make it a worse movie or anything like that?
I mean, at this point, no.
that one is, I think, is a special case for M. Night Shyamalan.
The twist is the rest of his movies suck. That was the biggest twist of all.
Well, what else is, what was kind of big for you movie-wise? I mean, I think, let's see, what was my... I think maybe some of the most fun I had in a theater movie might have, it's a toss up for me between actually I don't know if it is. For a while it was like Pacific Rim or Fast Six, and I'm not sure which way I lean on that one. I think it might be Pacific Rim.
those are both movies that you don't want to do a lot of thinking. Really fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And both made it on my list.
Oh, there you go. I think maybe one of the more surprising ones that I liked that I didn't expect to like was Olympus Has Fallen.
that is also on my list.
Wow, we should like do a podcast or something where our interests are so similar.
Right. All right, so let me just run through my list and then we can go through the ones that we've seen together.
Sure.
Or we both seen or haven't seen. I did it chronologically because I just went through the list and cheated. but Olympus Has Fallen, definitely a fun movie.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of really don't think about it movies this year that were really fun to watch. I mean, I think it was a good return to a proper 80s action movie.
Yeah.
For the new millennium. As much as I hate that phrase, it's still it's accurate.
We the millennium is in the awkward teens phase. We had already discussed that.
Yeah. And the next movie, The Place Beyond the Pines.
Okay, I didn't see that one, but I know we had talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that one on demand. It was one of the few movies of the year that it was not what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I figure the plot, you can figure it out as you're watching it, but it's not the type of movie that the trailers made it look like it was. And it was an interesting watch. I'd recommend it.
I find myself nodding on a podcast. That's good. That's good.
Good job, Al.
Yeah, right.
well, maybe you'll have more to say about the next movie, Iron Man 3.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I do have a fair amount to say about it because I actually had not seen it a second time. I only saw it the one time in the theater, and I remember liking it, but my first thought was, wow, this was such a nice movie compared to Iron Man 2. But I feel like I need to see it again to give it a better shake on its own.
Yeah, I think I saw it probably two or three times.
Yeah.
And it's worth it just for the last 20 minutes of the movie. the big suit fight, you could just cut the rest of the movie. As much as I enjoyed the rest of the movie, I was with, here, take my $10. I will watch suits fight each other.
Nice.
next one was Fast Six.
Yep.
Which I think may be the funnest movie I saw. I also thought between that and Pacific Rim.
So Fast Six, did you see that in D-Box?
I did.
Did you see that with me in D-Box?
No, I didn't.
Okay, we both saw Fast 5 together with D-Box.
Yes.
I think seeing it in D-Box, the reason I hesitate for Fast 6 as my like most fun movie experience for last year was that I felt like the D-Box was not as impressive as it was for Fast 5. It was good, but I feel like there were a lot more moments in Fast 5 where I'm like, oh, this is awesome. But, I mean, which isn't to say that the D-Box thing has kind of worn off on me, or because I remember we both saw, what was that movie with...
Act of Valor?
Was that what the name of... I knew it was something. You're right.
The
something
Navy SEAL movie.
Right. Yeah. And the D-Box on that was just silly.
I mean, that was a waste of money.
It was, I mean, the movie aside, which was not
bad. That was not a good movie.
Okay, yeah.
Parks, but it was not a good movie.
Right. With all due respect to our,
Quit your day job.
It is.
Acting's not for you.
But yeah, that was not a great movie, and the D-Box did not really help it. So I mean, I think there is a place for applied cool kind of add-ons for a movie. Although 3D is still not a thing for me.
No. Although I did enjoy the 3D in Gravity. I felt like that enhanced it, but it wasn't, did blow my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I sidetracked your list. So you were at,
Okay, so Fast Six, This is the End.
Okay, yeah.
I laughed a lot at that movie.
I've still yet to see it.
Oh!
I know it's probably an easier watch now that it's just available on demand or whatever. Maybe I'll do that this coming week.
Yeah, you should check that out. It is a depraved movie, but it is very funny. Then the next would be Pacific Rim.
Okay.
Which we both agree on is amazing.
Yeah, you'll get no negative comments from this.
Although watching it again on Blu-ray, not quite as impressive. Without the robots aren't as cool on the small screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you
But movie makers don't make movies for home release. They're made for the big screen.
Yeah.
So I think that's the benchmark it should be judged from.
Mm-hmm. I think that's especially rough for that movie, because so much of it is a scale, oriented kind of movie. Action is one thing, but like scale is very, I think it's more difficult to pull off at home.
Mm-hmm.
Although you can do a lot with a very decent sound system.
Sure. That would help.
Yeah, surround sound. I still think that was maybe one of the best kind of home improvement decisions I've made. Surround sound and subwoofers. Yep.
Yeah.
Should be a thing.
Definitely. next up was The World's End. I know that's two movies on the list that both end with the word end. And both have to do with the apocalypse, but
yeah.
the final film in Edgar Wright's Cornetto, Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy. I enjoyed it. It's probably my least favorite of the three, the others being Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Huh.
But I still enjoyed it a lot.
Okay, cool. While we're on that topic, where do you put Hot Fuzz next to Shaun of the Dead?
That's a tough one. For a long time, I thought Shaun of the Dead was better, and I still think I might like that movie more. But every time I watch Hot Fuzz, I like it more.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I'm similar with it. I really liked Shaun of the Dead as a movie on its own, and I felt like Hot Fuzz had kind of the momentum of Shaun of the Dead behind it a little bit, and I feel like it doesn't feel as good knowing that if I had just seen that in a vacuum, but that's kind of silly because who sees movies in a vacuum? Unless we're talking about Gravity, but
yeah, astronauts,
yeah. So, World's End.
World's End. Don John.
Oh, really?
The Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie.
Okay.
I really liked it. Yeah. It was very funny, but it was also, I don't know, I thought it was really well done.
Okay. I know my wife wanted to see that, and we ended up not, I forget, I feel like we picked a different movie the week that it was really big, and then it like fell off the radar, and then we couldn't see it. I wonder what else that was at that time.
Yeah, it is kind of one of those movies that just kind of slipped in and out, and I don't think a lot of people saw it.
Yeah.
But I went with a group of friends, and we all had a blast.
Cool.
It was good. And that's getting into more of the actual movies, you know, like film movies, not explodey, popcorn-y movies.
Mm-hmm. Although, if you're going chronologically, that's... That kind of
that
fits,
makes sense,
yeah. Right? Because you know the generally they kind of backstack the Oscar contenders and
stuff. Yeah, the movies on this list do kind of get better in quality, I guess, as they go along. the rounding out the end of the list, we got two more: American Hustle.
Yeah,
which David O. Russell is definitely one of my favorite directors.
Yeah, that was really fun. Movies. Really fun. Yeah. So we watched that, I think, not New Year's Day, but the day after that, and it just had a fun time. I mean, it was a really, really good tone for a movie that could have been very predictable, and ended up not being predictable, which I liked as well.
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on. And I usually have, you know, by the time the third act started, I've figured out how a movie's going to end. But that one, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, there were so many
directions.
Yeah, there were at least two points where there was a very, oh, no, I changed my mind. Like, we're going to go over here. And you're like, okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. And I think it, even though the way they, I think it avoided a trap of a lot of movies like that where they, you know, they essentially burn a character that you care about. I mean, as much as you might care about the folks in it, they were pretty consistent about how they handled everyone, and you know, it's not necessarily a happy ending, but it's a you know, everybody kind of fits. And it, I thought that was great.
Yeah, great characters.
Yeah. someone texted me actually it was Jenny. She said that because I had tweeted that I had just seen it, and she was saying, "Oh, I'm going to see it today. I'm looking forward to the 70s hairdos." And I think the first like I don't even know how long that scene is. It's maybe like 5 minutes of the movie where.
Putting up hair.
Yeah. It was just like maybe one of the better, like between that and the like, oh, let me play this song for you at my pool party like scene. It's like this is the introduction to the character I'm supposed to like. it's done great. It's done. I mean, for the movie to be able to do that, I think was great.
Film. Maybe that may be my favorite movie of the year. I mean, it wasn't. There are other fun movies, but the other strong contender, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's maybe one of the most insane movies I've ever seen. It's just nonstop drugs and insanity and excess and greed. And friend of the podcast, David Clift, is in the movie as an extra. So that was cool to see.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. We'll have to get him on if he's not too starstruck, you know. That's cool. I think that one may have appeared... Well, I didn't see it last year because it was like very, very tight to the end of the year. But that's something I could definitely see.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese did a great job remaking Goodfellas.
Cool.
So that's the top ten. A couple honorable mentions, just real quick. The Kings of Summer. And I know I've talked about it on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a modern Stand By Me. It was fun to watch. And the movie that destroyed my brain was Upstream Color.
Yeah.
I still don't know what I saw. I saw it.
Yeah, we were talking about how we watched a lot of movies where you could, you know, turn your brain off, and then you watch that movie, and like, even with your brain at full attention, it's still very difficult. I mean, we talked about it. I know we talked about it when we talked about the movie when on the show, but it's still there's still just so much that does not make sense. Like I mean, there are more vignettes of it that make sense. So I feel like because we were talking about it in context of Primer,
right?
And how I think the Primer kinds of things that happen, it's very much like, oh, this is happening now. And if you didn't notice what we said in the voiceover that is so hard to hear, you might be lost right now. But I feel like Upstream Color just removed all of the voiceover.
There's no dialogue. There's no explanation. It's all just visual,
right?
Emotional filming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it should get some mention. I can't say it's a great movie because I don't understand what the hell I saw. But I think it might be.
Yeah, I think it comes out of almost an impressionist kind of way. You have to not look at it and be expecting, like, even the rudiments of a plot are so buried in so much other stuff that it's kind of difficult to conceive of how that movie got put together, let alone what I'm supposed to take away from it while watching.
that movie had so much thinking involved in it on my part that I think it makes up for all the other movies that I didn't think when I was watching.
There we go. Yeah.
I, for everyone off Shooting Color, I can watch Fast Six, a Pacific Rim, and Olympus Has Fallen. I feel like those balance out.
Right, absolutely.
Any other movies you saw this year that you feel are worth mentioning?
Let me think.
Do you have your own list?
Not for movies. I really should have put together one for movies. So I'll have to, you know, put that on the thing for next year. I mean, I talked about that a little bit, and kind of in the I guess that was before we started recording. But I think 2014, I want to be just a little bit better about documenting, and especially stuff for not necessarily stuff that happened in 2014, but, you know, really stuff that happened to me, or ideas that I got, or things like that. Because I feel like a lot of that stuff just disappears into the ether. Even though I feel like having the podcast is kind of a good record for that, it's not exactly searchable, shall we say.
Right.
The access time on it is a little harder, especially when
if you want to start transcribing them, go ahead. Or if anyone out there listening has no life, go ahead and start transcribing it. Why not? Please don't do that.
No.
You have a life. You have a reason to live. There's other things to do in this world.
Yeah. But I'm so I know that the thing that spurred that on this year was I had found a set of notebooks that I think, yeah, we'd given them to a few friends over the years, and it was they're from a company called 33 Books, and they're a way of keeping track of 33 somethings, and it's 33 because that's the number of pages in the notebook, but it's like 33 cheeses or 33 wines or 33 beers is the one that that I really liked. And the nice thing was it has this little kind of, you know, on a scale of 1 to 3 in like 12 different dimensions. And when you draw the little graph connecting all the dots, you get this little picture of your beer. And it's like, oh, well, I like beers that look kind of like this. And I like that idea of it, the kind of quick access memory kind of thing. But I think I need just more of a like idea notebook kind of thing, especially you know, with the podcast going, it's nice to have things like that. But then also from a documentation point of view, one of the things I've been doing is whenever I get like a really decent cocktail, I try and write down the place and the name and stuff. And that's been fun because I've been able to recommend drinks for people and stuff. And that's fun.
Documentation annotation is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, data is a thing. He's also a person, but data is a thing.
Well, didn't they have that conversation when Dr. Pulaski was on because she was calling him Data, and he had the thing, you know, no. My name is Data, but Data is what I call, you know, just information. And she
kind of, one is my name, and one is not.
Yeah, Star Trek. Really still should be a thing, despite how much I didn't like the second movie.
Yeah, as you may have noticed, there was a movie left off my top 10 list.
No. I mean, I think we've talked about it enough about that. I mean, I still think Star Trek should exist, or some sci-fi that has kind of the kind of world about it that's there. What's I think funny is maybe one of my favorite shows of 2013, Almost Human, is has one of the people from Star Trek. Although I think if we were going to talk about shows of 2013, I don't know
Bad.
how can you not say Breaking Bad?
We got to get that in there.
Yeah. Keen. Breaking Bad should be a thing. What do you think about Better Call Saul?
I will judge it when I see it.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think it'll be fine. I don't know what exactly how they would kind of turn that into a sustaining show. I think whatever they make, I'm going to watch and I'll probably enjoy it, but I don't know if it could be something that would be like a, you know, It may not be the next Breaking Bad, shall we say.
That's how that stuff works. I mean, you make a good product, you're going to get some leeway on your next one.
Sure.
But, you know, even still, I'm not going to continue. You know, I'll buy you 4 episodes. You can't get anything done in 4 episodes, I'm not worried about it.
Oh, that reminds me. So are you still on board for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That show. It started getting better. And it's so bland.
Oh, so you're still on board, but it sounds like it's rough.
I'm just waiting for it to get really good, and I have this horrible dread that it's not going to happen. But Arrow still going strong.
Okay, right on.
Comics on TV still a thing.
Good. Okay, well we're doing some good stuff, I think, for 2014. This was a good show. I'm you know, we're still committed to recording every week as best we can. Although next week, I'll put the I'm not sure about it in now. I'm doing another trip for work through picturesque Florida, and we'll just see how the recording goes. I mean, it all is based around A, the amount of internet I get through the hotel, and B, the amount of alcohol I get through the same hotel, probably. So, yes.
I really think that if it comes down to alcohol being the issue, we should record. I've been told this by multiple listeners, that if we have the opportunity, we should record.
If only for the comic effect of
yes,
of how it sounds. Even if we don't publish it, it'll probably still be a fun show.
Well, maybe we should make that a goal for 2014, is to do a live in-person recording with both of us in the same room, and we'll have like the Not a Thing drinking game and record an episode while we are drinking.
Wow. Okay. I think we could probably have a good, you know, this is going in the notebook right now.
Yeah, what could we do? Power Hour podcast.
Oh, yikes. That might have to be the final show of
Or not. That may just be rampant alcoholism. We don't have to do that. It's just another. Put it in the notebook.
Okay. All right. Well, I think
it's the starting point for an idea.
Yeah, we definitely have some good fun ideas for 2014. So we're gonna keep it up. If you'll keep listening to us, follow us on the Twitters and Facebook, like us and stuff like that. You can't plus one us on Google. I do have a Google Plus account for the Not a Thing podcast, but I'm not keeping it up. I pretty much am just cyber
into the void.
Just cyber squatting on that one. But yeah, the we'll try and keep some cool stuff in mind for 2014. So let's get on that, Brendan.
Done.
Right on. I will talk to you next week.
Until next time.